Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go, my brother. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another knee-jerk edition of Stunt Granny Audio. It's Eric and Dusty. What's going on, Dusty keeping?
Hello! Oh, it was a drive-by fruiting. Okay.
Excellent. Hey, don't be using words like fruit in a wrestling...
I humbly apologize, because I'm supposed
right.
to apologize.
Shit. Glad is going to be up your ass over this. I shouldn't say that either.
Oh, they're really going to stick it to you now.
They're really going to touch my penis now.
Indeed.
Okay, well, before we have to get thrown in for sensitivity training, we are going to make this knee-jerk edition of Stunt Granny Audio live up to its name. We're going to cram about 90 minutes worth of news into about 30 minutes worth of winder.
Yeah.
Let's start from the top. Dusty, you've been on the IWA Mid-South beat for a while now.
What a beat to be on, by the way. But, yes.
Yeah.
I'm the IWA Mid-South specialist, I guess, for Stunt Granny.
Christ.
Yeah, they have officially closed their doors.
What doors do they have? Yeah.
And they're going to sell the doors along with their pizza oven.
So you went to the IWA Mid-South bulletin board, message board, whatever you want to call it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I need you to enlighten the folks on either if you have enough word for word or in a nutshell, in essence, exactly what they said. Because pizza oven ain't the only thing worth mentioning.
Well, the official message was effective immediately. We're closing our doors. Anyone interested in purchasing, and then they list off items you can purchase, and they have a phone number. And it's the sound system, the ring, the concession items like the pizza oven and popcorn maker, and the videotape library. So,
and the bad thing is the popcorn maker is actually Ian's mother, Lois Rotten.
Yes. So there's that, and you know, thank you for all your years of patronage and support. Thank you to the 10 people who came to the last show, I guess. But
that's right.
Now, this is not the first time they've closed their doors, and as you can imagine, there are some fans of IWA Mid-South that are a little skeptical.
Yeah.
That this is the end, but it does seem closer to the end each time. So
there are other IWA Mid-South detractors that hope this is the end.
Yeah, absolutely. there are people like Jim Cornette, for example, who are not fans of that style.
Yep.
I can't say I'm too crazy about it. Watching King of the Deathmatch matches isn't really my cup of joe. But,
especially not the low-rent, like, Southern Indiana, Southern Illinois version of them. I mean, it's one thing when it's Mick Foley and Terry Funk in Japan in 1995, but when it's 2010 and it's fucking Lightbulb McGee versus old Bettendale Johnson.
Right. Lightbulb McAllister.
The only good thing about holding a wrestling show in an abandoned Kmart parking lot is that you might possibly be able to go inside and find some leftover white beaters and jean shorts for your guys to wear.
That's right. I got some tremendous clearance sale items. So, this has been a pretty low period for Ian Rotten after getting ethered on that Nobody's Blog Talk show.
Yeah.
And now having to close his doors. This is probably the low point of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's probably been just one whole low point ever since he broke up with Axel in ECW. But,
right.
You know, what have you.
Yeah, you reap what you sow. You made your bed of nails, now lie in it.
Right. But basically, he's a wrestling fan. He's a wrestling fan who just happened to run shows. So in a way, the concept of Ian Rotten is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, I guess, but when you don't have your head screwed on straight, and
exactly.
when you try to pay guys off in oxycodone and whatever else, and, you know.
I don't know what else.
Yeah, you just weren't probably cut out to be on the business part of the sport.
What the hell is it with everybody who runs a wrestling company except for Vince McMahon doesn't know shit from apple butter about business, you know?
No kidding. Jim Cornette is able to sell out so many of his shows at the end of their run in 1995 and, you know, drawing huge houses, even for national standards, drawing 4,000 people to certain shows and then have to close his doors. I mean, I know he had, you know, other irons in the fire, as it were, but Paul Heyman also, Paul Heyman, you know, licensing out the name ECW that he owns to Acclaim, a major video game company, and Jax Pacific or whoever was making their toys at the time and, you know, bounces fucking every third paycheck.
Right.
Yeah, kind of sad, kind of embarrassing.
It is sad because wrestling fans deserve better. There's probably a niche market for that type of wrestling that Ian could tap into, but he's just so clueless on the business marketing that he can't do it, you know?
Well, and he's, you know, 15 years ago, he wouldn't have seemed as clueless, but today, that's just, this shit doesn't fly. There's not a niche, there are niche opportunities, but there's not a niche for what he knows. And he thinks he can just continue to run with it because it's all he knows how to do.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, even like CZW has some comedy elements to it, or they bring in good workers once in a while.
Yeah, that's it.
And you're not going to pay the bills on the drawing abilities of fucking Madman Pondo and J.C. Bailey and Mickey Knuckles.
No. Ian benefited from being a stopover point for, like, Colt Cabana and CM Punk before they really made it big. So he kind of... you know, kind of benefited from that. And then after that was over, then it was kind of back to what you know, and what he knows isn't very fucking much. So,
yeah, for those of you interested in seeing a video of what Dusty's talking about, go back to the homepage of stuntgranny.com and check out the video that Dusty posted along with his update about IWA Mid-South closing, and you'll see CM Punk working the microphone, Sam's microphone.
Yes. Classic.
Classic. Good stuff. One of the few good things we can say about that sad, sad company that's officially closing its doors until approximately May 2011.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's more to Punk's credit than anything else. That guy would have been a star wherever he went, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, true.
And he is now. Well, speaking of backward companies and people who could be stars, but really... let's be honest, who gives a shit? We got one TNA spoiler worth talking about. I read it, and I slapped myself in the head, and then Jeremy mentioned it on IM today, and I slapped myself again because somebody else cared enough to point it out. TNA spoiler from last night's Impact tapings, Christopher Daniels makes his official return to TV as Daniels, not as Suicide or whatever else he's been.
Okay, good.
I believe he opens the show. I don't really, it doesn't matter what order this stuff happens in, like whether he opened the show.
You can air it in whatever order you want.
Yeah, it's going to make exactly as much sense. he comes out and he talks about hanging out with his buddy AJ Styles, and does he want to join Fortune, and does he want to take part in the lockdown match that's coming up for the next pay-per-view, the eight-man tag thing, War Games style. Well, then you get a bunch of main eventers and semi-main eventers, clingers and hangers-on that come down to the ring and basically tear Daniels a new asshole and say that he's not worth the fucking fabric his outfit was sewn with.
Right.
Then he wrestles Bully Ray and loses, does the JOB upon his return.
Right.
I guess the reason that it's worth talking about is that, you know, overall, who really truly gives a shit? But... if you want to pick nits about it, here's a guy who, year after year, could be worth something. You know, and the guy's 40, so he's running out of years.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
The reason he wouldn't join Fortune is because he's older than Ric Flair. But anyway.
Yeah, nice. Well, and then just the other fact, I mean, it could have been, you know, we could be talking about Jesse Neal or Orlando Jordan, but it's like, who gives a fuck about those guys? here's a guy that, you know, could potentially be in a money-drawing situation or at least attention-grabbing situation. And in typical TNA style, they just fuck it up immediately. The first thing they have him do is job.
Right.
And they're pushing the potential of him being in the main event War Games match of the next pay-per-view.
Right. Well, in Vince Russo's booking, that kind of thing doesn't matter. He'll just do stuff, you know?
Right. And
expect you to buy into the stuff he's doing, you know?
Yep.
No sort of logic plays into it.
Yeah. Vince Russo, I'm convinced, has never, ever, ever created a star in pro wrestling.
No, he hasn't. He really hasn't.
And part of
I defy you to name me one star that he's made. I defy you.
Anybody who became a superstar in the WWF when he was around is attributed to two people, that wrestler himself and Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just because he gave the undercard guys stuff to do every week, which, again, is to his credit.
Oh, absolutely.
I truly don't think he knows what it takes to make a money-drawing star in pro wrestling. He might be able to help them a little bit, but, you know, really, I even if he helped The Rock with a few promos here and there, I still wouldn't give him credit for helping keep The Rock on top.
No, not at all. I mean, that's just helping him have stuff to say. That's nothing.
So we talked about a guy like Ian Rotten who has no business being on the business side of the business.
No, not at all.
And
in fact,
really,
now that I think about it, Ryan Jarowitz had more to do with Rock's promos than Russo did.
That's true, actually, because Russo, I mean, Rock was already hitting on all cylinders pretty, you know, relatively early in his career, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, the shit that he was knocking out of the park was, like, post-Russo.
Yep.
So, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you've got Ian, who shouldn't be running the business part. You've got Vince Russo, who's never really shown any aptitude for the booking aspect of
right.
it. And so what do we do but kick off the show talking about those two assholes?
Yep, that's green.
we could kill the next half hour bitching about TNA's bad booking, but we do it every week. So why don't we talk about another bad business decision made about a guy who's on the booking side of things that a lot of people actually like.
Yeah.
A piece of news that you posted earlier today, Dave Fit Finley, whatever you want to call him, producer, road agent for WWE, was fired today.
Indeed. The Belfast Bruiser, you might call him.
That's right.
Yeah, he basically fell on the sword for somebody's dumb idea, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this could have been a matter where they just sort of fined him or suspended him or admonished him. The big boost of man is going to admonish him again.
Yeah, was he going to chastise him?
Yes. But they fired him, which is pretty ridiculous. But like I said, I think they'll take him back almost immediately.
Oh, absolutely. This is, you know, the parallel here is Daniel Bryan, the week of the first Nexus angle, chokes, was it Justin Roberts with his tie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's not PG enough or G-rated enough, so they fire him, and they bring him back a few months later. So here now, Fit Finley is apparently the agent in charge of the segment at a house show where The Miz comes out and interrupts the national anthem to get heel beat, and in doing so, pisses off the National Guard people who are in attendance. And so you can't fire Miz because he's the champion headlining WrestleMania.
Yep.
You can't really punish him. I mean,
not really.
It's not like it was his idea. And I don't know. No one's really came out and said whose idea this was.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, yeah, that's an awfully harsh punishment for something that, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, the National Guard is a big sponsor right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, let's get serious here.
I mean, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. It's just a regular wrestling thing to me anyway, you know?
Right.
Another day at the office, basically. But
yeah. Well, and I'm not going to hold the national anthem up on some pedestal or anything like that, but, you know, there are just certain things that you probably shouldn't think about doing, and, you know, maybe you know, even 11, 12 years later, you probably shouldn't, like, lower somebody down on a, you know, not a zip line, you know what I mean, rappel them down from the ceiling like Owen Hart. Probably shouldn't, you know, like, suggest that somebody hangs themselves and their wife and kid or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, certain things that you just shouldn't think about. And maybe, like, you know, somebody thinks, ooh, let's interrupt the national anthem for heat. Let's just say that the wrestling shows are confined to the second the national anthem is over until the bell rings at the end of the main event.
Right, exactly.
So, kind of a silly idea, and somebody was too harshly, the consequences were too harsh for it.
It's unfortunate because it probably wasn't Finley's idea. Excuse me. Wasn't his idea, and just to, you know, fire him over it, it seems a little extreme.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially in light of the fact that somebody else did something over the weekend that, you know, would probably get most people fired in the real world.
Yep.
Just to give some context to that, too, I believe it was a Chrysler employee who thought he was logged on to his own Twitter account but was actually logged on to the business account.
Okay.
And tweeted something like, you'd think in a city like Detroit, known for making cars, that there wouldn't be so many fucking shitty drivers.
True.
He's summarily fired.
Yep.
Gilbert Gottfried, the official voice of the Aflac Duck, tweets things like, God, what did he say? My Japanese doctor told me I should get more water, like 80 million gallons a day. I asked my Japanese realtor if I could get some waterfront property. He said there wasn't any right now, but just wait. He got fired for tweeting things like that. He got fired from his job at Aflac.
Yep.
Michael Cole, in a tete-a-tete with Josh Matthews over Twitter, Josh Matthews writes, just landed in Chicago, and then whatever he said, frustrating or upset or angry or something like that.
Yeah.
Michael Cole writes, @ WWE Josh Matthews, faggot.
Right.
Click tweet. It goes out across the entire Twitterverse.
Yes.
He thinks that he's sending a direct private message to Josh Matthews. Oh, no. And what happens? He basically has to go to insensitivity training, and Vlad is very upset with him. And we're very ashamed that WWE would do something like that.
Right. Boy, I can't believe the same company that would fuck us with the Billy and Chuck wedding would employ somebody who would do that. I can't believe it. Wow, I'm just shocked.
Right.
Bunch of fucking rocket scientists.
I also like how part of this is being attributed to his, like, big ego and big head backstage. Him telling off the writers, you don't give me a script, I'll say whatever I want to. That's completely separate. And, you know.
Yeah, well, let me be clear about this. Wade Keller is a huge anti-Michael Cole agenda.
Yeah.
So don't listen to Wade Keller's news about Michael Cole, because the only person he's getting information from is anti-Michael Cole also.
Yeah.
So fuck that. Don't listen to any of that. That's just noise, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's bad to have a big ego, and yeah, he's probably a jerk, and yeah, fine. That has nothing to do with this.
No.
Done.
No, it really does. Yeah, quit.
It really bothers me.
Yeah. And I don't even know if this, I mean, they are indirectly, but purposely making the connection there. Kind of like Wade Keller's best friend, George W. Bush, would constantly mention 9/11 and the terrorist attacks alongside Iraq and Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
In order to create that association with the average Joe Sixpack.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So when you get some of these upper crust echelon wrestling writers that are saying, oh, Michael Cole called somebody a faggot on Twitter, and man, his ego's really out of control.
Right.
No, what it is, and I'll interject this too, and I appreciate where Gibson 59 or whatever his name is on the Torch message board is coming from. He did say, he did try to make a distinction between, well, John Cena says these things on TV, and he shouldn't because he's a role model. Michael Cole is saying them, but he's not playing a role model. He's a heel on TV. And I understand that line of thinking, but I can't agree with that 100%. The idea should be both guys are public figures, and neither one of them should even think to say something like that on Twitter.
Yes.
Unless Michael Cole, you know, being the newbie to Twitter, is like, oh, I'm sending a direct message. No one's ever going to see this. So the aspect of it being a private message is, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Even then, it's like, kind of stupid. You just call somebody a faggot because they said they landed in Chicago and they're frustrated.
Right. Yeah, it seems totally awkward to do that. But Michael Cole has to realize that since he is a public figure, nothing he does is private, even if it is private.
Yep.
If it might get out at all, don't do it.
Yep.
Would be a good word of advice there.
Right, that's pretty much the simplest advice you can give.
Yep. And, Wade Keller, not just egotistical people can be homophobes, okay?
That's right.
Cut it the fuck out.
Exactly. Well, anyway, that topic was gay as AIDS. No.
It was gayer than nine guys fucking 10 guys.
My bass player, Max, likes to say, well, that was gayer than a football bat.
Okay.
I really don't know what that means, but he says it and it stuck with me now. So.
What did he order last night, by the way?
He got two appetizers, the bacon wrapped tater tots and the fried pickle spears.
Mm-hmm.
What did he get as his main dish? I'll have to ask him and report back to you at a later date. But everybody go to www.thehighlifelounge.com to see where Max and I have supper last night.
Yes. And you ordered a big old bowl of chili.
I got a big bowl of chili with a side of green beans and a roll and some butter, and it was amazing.
Oh.
And that meal cost me $5.55.
Wow.
Yep. Mm. I got a Grain Belt premium, though. That cost me an extra $2.75, but it was worth every penny. Mm.
Anyway.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of a good way to condense this topic down into one thing since we have a few minutes remaining, and I think really the main topic of Monday Night Raw that's worth talking about, you and I talked about it earlier, is John Cena, is he finally flirting with a heel turn?
Yeah, it seems to be messing with The Rock would turn a heel.
Yeah,
in my estimation, anyway.
Right. It seems like there are three players in this whole, well, it doesn't seem, there are three players in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz, the WWE champion, kind of forgotten. You know, he tries to interject himself, but comes out as kind of the third wheel in this whole thing.
Yep.
You've got The Rock, the returning legend, legendary Attitude Era, Hollywood, Dwayne Johnson. You know, everybody on God's green earth knows who he is. On Twitter was, you know, People's Elbow was trending on Twitter last night as soon as he hit the People's Elbow on The Miz. Unbelievable. And then you got John Cena, who's in Chicago. And Chicago hates John Cena.
Would you say Chicago's like a smarter town?
Yeah. I mean, they're so – wrestling is such a part of Chicago culture. You know, when TV first came around in the 40s and they were looking for cheap programming, Chicago is absolutely one of the hotbeds of professional wrestling on television.
Mm-hmm.
And even before then, I mean, Christ, you got your – Jim Londos's that were selling out Comiskey Park, you know, 39,000 people for a gate of about $39,001 because that's all the more they charge for a ticket.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's embedded in Chicago. Chicago and wrestling go together like me and my desire to have millions of dollars so I can start a pro wrestling company headquartered in Chicago.
The territory just opened up for you. So.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Where can I get a good pizza oven?
I don't know. I know where you can get a shitty one.
The real key to success with a territory is a nice popcorn maker.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
But yeah, my point is, though, they're a smarter town, and smarter towns seem to not like John Cena as much.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, like New York or whatever the hell.
Yeah. So if you're gonna book an angle like this, and if and I give them a lot of credit for this, if they did, if they booked it this far out, this angle, Raw by Raw, point by point, and they decided that everything was going to culminate in Chicago, and they went to their arena booker and said, we need the Allstate Arena for the Monday before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
This might have been, like, the most perfectly plotted out 2 months' worth of angle or whatever it's been, possibly in the company's history, because now you've got John Cena, this Hulk Hogan level, you know, not draw exactly, but baby face, like, good guy, smiling, you know, chain gang, Hulkamaniacs, whatever.
Yeah. Yep,
Nation,
exactly.
Merchandise, brightly colored merchandise, that a lot of people really on the inside hate the guy.
Oh, everybody's booing me. Oh, well. Smile, smile, sparkle, sparkle.
Yep, exactly. You've got mean old Rocky that everybody loves versus, aw, shucks, John Cena that so many people hate. And what does he do? But he lets two people beat up The Rock. Then he swoops in at the last minute and gives The Rock the attitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, I guess, here's a question. Is this a good business move?
I don't know. I don't know because I don't know where they go from here, you know?
Yeah, what do you see happening at WrestleMania? I mean, there are a lot of people that have said they blew their WrestleMania load already. So it's like, what do you see happening at WrestleMania?
Yeah. That's kind of what I feel like because they should have teased something and then given the blow off at Mania, you know?
Right, yep.
Now I don't know what the hell they do next.
Right.
You can't just, ha ha, we're friends now.
No.
You were beating them up the week before, you know?
Right. Do you have Cena heal it up during the match at WrestleMania only for The Rock to come in and give him a rock bottom?
Right.
Let The Miz win, even though The Miz is probably still going to be a heel after WrestleMania, and then The Rock looks like a dickhead.
Right.
I
guess that's what they do. Rock helps Miz win. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
I don't like that, though.
I mean, the other option is Rock just stays above the fray, doesn't get involved. Somehow Cena, I got to believe Cena's turning heel at WrestleMania. Whether it sticks
it
or
really
not, it's going to be like an whether it sticks or not is going to be like an Austin at WrestleMania 17 sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just go from there, I guess. You hope. You know, I feel like they've got The Rock locked down until WrestleMania 28, and I'm pulling for a Rock versus Cena match at WrestleMania 28.
That would be nice.
It draws some money, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, they got to determine, is The Miz ready to be a babyface? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that answer.
I don't know. He's a really good public face for the company, does great on things like Conan O'Brien and early morning talk shows and towns where they're going to be.
Yep.
But, you know, his character just doesn't say babyface to me. Not right now, anyway.
It worries me because this might be the same sort of thing like they did with Diesel or whatever. They always do this. Like, he's a cool heel, and then they turn him babyface and castrate him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like the only successful turn they've done like that is Steve Austin because they botched it with Diesel. I'm fast-forwarding through a bunch of guys, but they botched it with Randy Orton in 2004 when he split off from Evolution.
Uh-huh.
You know, fans couldn't have given a shit less about Randy Orton then, so they just turned him heel so he could wrestle Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's intriguing, though, and like I said, People's Elbow and Attitude Adjustment were both trending on Twitter right after Raw got over with.
Yeah. Oh, this is definitely getting people talking. It's very good for business. They just have to do it right here.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that they will, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Adventures. Yeah. Well, we've only got a few days to find out, so we're all excited. Everybody tune in. And stick with Stunt Granny, too, because Kevin and Jeremy are going to be doing their WrestleMania preview audios throughout the rest of the week.
Oh, I look forward to those every year, and I can find them free on stuntgranny.com.
So.
Greatest pitch ever.
Yep, I try.
Call you Randy Johnson. All right, well.
That pitch was so fast it killed a bird and struck out a dude at the same time.
That's so awesome. All right, well, it's time for me to go have a two-man band practice with Max Tinkle and find out what he had for supper at High Life Lounge last night. So I'm going to bow out here and wish everybody safe travels and happy evenings, and we'll talk to you next time I'm on the earth.
All right, well, for Eric Nelson, for Max, and for everyone else in the Hole for Swank family, the Hole for Swank universe, I'm Dusty Giebing. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We will try to do better next time. Ta-da-da!